is Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Fireball Hot Take Friday. GM, how are you?
Outstanding.
Okay, I've got two hot takes to start the show. Do you want the Titans take or the non-Titans take?
Either one.
All right, I'll start with the non-Titans take. Nashville Lifestyles Magazine came out today with the 20 most beautiful people in Nashville. Apparently, I'm not on the list, therefore it does not count. So I would just say that. If they have a list of most 20 beautiful people in Nashville and I'm not on the list, then I know it's a fake list.
I mean, you're not even on the list in your house.
I'm not saying I'm number one.
I've seen your mom and dad. You're not on the list.
Well, I don't live at their house.
In the family.
I do not live at their house. But
I know you live alone. And you're not on the list.
I will say this. I'm not saying I should be number one on the most beautiful people in Nashville list, but definitely top 15, without a doubt. Definitely on that list. Now, the Titans take. Titans at Falcons Sunday. Pre-game show 9:30 at the George Jones. I have a horrible, horrible feeling about this Falcons game. I just think the Falcons are better than you. The only way you win is if their coach screws it up, which there's a possibility there, but their coach has been in the Super Bowl. So we can laugh at him and his tell the truth Monday and protect the ball Wednesday and all that stuff that he does. But he's been in the Super Bowl, so he at least has an idea of what he's doing. They have Matt Ryan. You don't. They have Julio Jones. You don't. They have Grady Jarrett. You don't. Although you have Jarrell Casey, who's okay. They have Mohamed Sanu. They have Calvin Ridley. They have better players. And the reason this is a hot take that I feel awful about the Falcons game is because I believe if the Titans go to Atlanta and lose on Sunday, the season is essentially over.
Didn't we talk about 1-3 teams and 3-1 teams earlier in the week?
But those other 3-1 teams?
And the 1-3 teams were?
Better than you.
And who were the 1-3 teams?
Houston and Indianapolis last year.
Okay, and they finished okay. And then the 3-1 teams included?
Tennessee.
Okay, and they finished less than Indy and Houston. So nobody wants to be 1-3. But we've been through the 3-1s, and it didn't help a great deal. So let's just go ahead and find a way to win this one and then figure out the win after that.
I'm just saying, I still think the Titans are a good team. And yet, at the same time, I feel horrible about Sunday's game. And you can tell me all you want about, hey, this team was 1-3, and they made it to the blank. This team was 1-3, and they made it to whatever. And this team, and that's great. But this Titans team, for example, the 2002 Titans were 1-4 and ended up in the AFC title game at 11-5. This team ain't the 2002 Titans. They ain't that good. So here I am saying I feel like 1-3 for this team where they are talent-wise. 1-3 might be too big of a hole to dig themselves out of. I'm starting to feel that way. How are they gonna dig themselves out of it?
You are. This is kind of, I mean, you. This is your personality.
What do you mean?
This. How we can't do it. How are we gonna get out of it? We're gonna sit around and cry, and nobody cares. Nobody cares. I mean, that's not the way the business works. You got to find a way to go out and win. And that's what they intend to do. Now, is Atlanta better than this team? I would say they are. Does that mean you can't win? No, I don't think so. I mean, I think you can find a way, and there is a way. But is it going to be easy? Heck no. I mean, they've got a quarterback and a running back and three of the maybe the best group of receivers in the league. So that is tough. So, I mean, but you got to go in there. I think this game versus this team, the you've heard of complimentary football before. This game can be won, I think, if you do a great job with complimentary football. If you go out there, each group on your own trying to, I mean, it's going to be tough. So I think this is a game that you know, if you understand playing together and hopefully Vrabel, you know, can put together some kind of a plan that involves all three areas and how they can, you know, if even if you don't win your area, even if we don't completely stop the receivers and the quarterback, we just need to contain them, just slow them down, mm-hmm. just keep them within a, you know, within some kind of parameters and not let them, like Davante Adams last night. I mean, Davante Adams goes off for, I don't know, it's like we were saying earlier, in the early part of the game, he looked like he was going to get receptions for 400 yards. I mean, he just kept going and kept going. You kept thinking, what the heck? Now he ended up getting hurt, and that, you know, that definitely slowed him down. But, I mean, you can't count on that.
I'm just saying, if I'm Atlanta, I throw the ball to Julio Jones on every play. I have no need for any other play in this game. Throw the ball to Julio. Now, that's not all they're going to do, but that's what I would do. And, again, to me, you're right. Vrabel's going to have to come up with some plan of complementary football. The Titans are going to have to play a smart game. The Titans are going to have to get a little lucky. And the Titans are going to have to do something they haven't done in 2 weeks, which is make some freaking plays out there on the field. Get an interception. Force a fumble. Go up and get the football. Break off a big run. They're going to have to do something like that, something we haven't seen them do in 2 weeks. They are going to have to do that. Now, I don't have a lot of faith in them being able to do that right now. I don't feel good about the Tennessee Titans, and because they're certainly not going to out-talent the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. I think all of us can agree with that.
Well, it depends when you're talking about offense. I would agree. Defense,
you ain't got Deion Jones on defense.
That's one guy.
He's a great player.
Yeah, he's not a great player.
A great player.
He fits that system perfectly and was drafted for that system. Now, if he tried to play in some of these other systems, he'd be a backup. But for them, doing what they want, carrying a receiver across the field in that coverage, he can do that because he can run like a scalded dog. But, I mean, there are a lot of those guys. I mean, the one thing about them on defense is they're not very big because they rely on running around and chasing and doing some of those things. So on offense, we're going to have to go out and mash them. I mean, turn this into a bloodletting and no white flag. I mean, this is going to go right to the end, and it's got to be ugly. Ugly and dirty and nasty. Just the way we want it.
So do you have confidence in the Titans on Sunday?
Sure.
Why?
I just told you. We've got to go in there and mash them.
They couldn't do that to Jacksonville. They had an ugly game against Indianapolis. They could win that game.
This team is different than Jacksonville. This team's not very big. Now, they can run. They've got some talent up front in their front seven, but they're not big, strong guys. And that's why, you know, you're hoping you can go in there and just mash them for a while and let the big running back get his. I mean, this is, if there was ever a game that Derek's size and weight and all those things should help you take a toll, it's this game.
Let's say the Titans win and they're at 2-2. I think if you're at 2-2, you're very much still in the season. The season's still then, because then it turns and you get Buffalo, and after Buffalo, you get, I think, Denver. And so you get some bad teams that roll up on your schedule, teams you should beat, although, trust me, you know, don't worry about me. I have no faith in you being able to beat those teams. But you will play some teams you should beat after the Atlanta game, which would give you a chance to, you know, get your record in check. But if you lose and you start 1-3, then you have to play 3-0 Buffalo with, and you have absolutely no room for error once you go to 1-3, which, again, there are some teams that have the talent to pull themselves out of 1-3. I do not view the Tennessee Titans as a team that have the talent to pull themselves out of 1-3. They're simply just not that. They're just not that good. And to your point about what happened in the Jacksonville game, there is blood in the water, and all these teams are going to play the Titans, and they're going to know, oh, all we got to do against the Titans is we just need to rush them, and we just need to go right at the right guard, and we'll do this, and we'll kill them. And that's what I'm afraid is going to happen on Sunday. I have no faith in this team. This team this week has said nothing and done nothing that has given me any modicum of belief that they're going to Atlanta and they're not going to get down 14-0 off the bat. I'm worried about the quarterback. I'm worried about protecting the quarterback. And again, if you're 1-3, do you really think this Tennessee Titan team has the mental wherewithal to pull themselves out of a 1-3 hole and get themselves back into position to competing?
Absolutely. It happens every single year.
To better teams.
Every year.
To better teams and better
teams
talent.
That are not better. You think is Buffalo a world killer? You think they're going to beat New England this week?
They can't come out of
1-3. You think they're going to beat New England this week?
No, but they can't come out of 1-3.
They could come
Buffalo
out of 1-3.
Buffalo is not talented enough to get themselves out of 1-3. Indianapolis,
oh, I don't know about that.
Indianapolis, Indianapolis with Andrew Luck at quarterback is talented enough to get themselves out of 1-3. Houston with Watson and Hopkins.
Indy got out of 1-5.
Because they got the talent to get out of 1-5.
Well, how did they get to 1-5 if they're all that talented?
Bad start for Frank Wright.
Thank you.
They got themselves out of it. Houston is talented enough to get themselves out of 1-3. They're certainly not well coached enough. It's talent in Houston. The Titans don't have the talent to get out of 1-3, and I'm not sure they have the coaching to get out of 1-3. So I find Sunday's game, this is where I'm torn. I find Sunday's game to be an absolute, hands down, must win football game. And if they don't, I'm all but ready to call it a season.
Okay.
This team does not have the talent.
Fine.
They don't have enough good players.
Fine. I mean, you got that right. You can do that. It's just like everybody else. You can make the choice. That's fine.
I am not banking on, in the NFL, it happens every year, one team starts poorly and gets hot. You ain't going to be that team. You just don't have it.
Where's 12-4?
Let's take your calls.
Where's 12-4?
12-4 is suspended right now with Taylor Lewan. 615-737-1025. 615. I said suspended. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Here's the question. Have the Titans done anything that gives you faith they'll beat the Atlanta Falcons? Anything. I just need something that makes me think they're going to beat the Atlanta Falcons, and I ain't got it. And on the other side of it, are they done? Are they done if they lose Sunday? Is that it for Vrabel year two? 615-737-1025. And how can you not feel like the Titans are done if they start 1-3? 615-737-1025. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jared and the GM live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
How dangerous are the Falcons, particularly with Julio Jones?
Well, I mean, I think that they have very good skill players. I mean, obviously, Matt orchestrates it very well. They have a runner that runs hard. Based on, his availability, I would say, Ito's a good changeup, a good third down back, a good scat back that has been able to gain some yards in there, and they've gotten him in space. But obviously, Julio is a phenomenal player, phenomenal talent, consistently excellent. Sanu's been dependable, reliable, a lot of really good qualities, whether that be on third down or work in the middle of the field. And then Ridley is really continued where he started his career at.
That's Mike Vrabel, the Titans coach. And you hear those names for the Falcons and you think, my God, how are the Titans going to stop the Falcons on Sunday? Here's what I don't get. The Falcons, though, are still 1-2. It's not like the Falcons are winning every game 38-3 like they did 3 years ago, the year they went to the Super Bowl. If there's any positive, I think that's got to be one of them, is there's something that's wrong in Atlanta. And I was looking this up. We know all the star players for Atlanta. Did you know that Atlanta, on the season, is 10th in total offense, 7th in total defense, and yet 22nd in points scored and 21st in points allowed?
Red zone.
Which tells me they're getting down there. They're just not doing anything when they get down there. Which makes no sense, because wouldn't you just throw the ball to Julio every time you get down there?
Well, again, I mean, there's the great thing about Julio is, like last week, you see him being doubled, and the guys are both, a yard and a half off of him. He throws a rotten pass, and it turns into a jump ball, and he just out jumps them both and comes down Well, in the end, in the red zone, you can't do those kinds of things. You know, it's got to be precise, and it's all timing, and the ball's got to come out right, and it's got to hit you in the right spot and all that stuff.
So whatever the problem with the Falcons is, they have come out of the gates and looked terrible in two of their three games to start. Indianapolis last week, they started off terribly, and they were horrible. I think they were down 28-0 or something like that at halftime to Minnesota in week one. Whatever that reason is, if it's Dan Quinn, the coach, that's the problem, then you have to hope for the Titans' sake that it maybe rears its ugly head this game, because I don't see how, unless the Falcons screw it up in some way or another, I'm not sure how you go in there and beat them. And that's the other part, is you are playing desperately knowing that you're going to have to win this game to stay alive this season. Atlanta's 1-2. They're probably thinking the same thing. Hey, if we got any shot this year, we're going to have to beat Tennessee at home now. Cannot lose to the freaking Titans. And that makes Atlanta a very dangerous team. This is not a good game.
Well, Matt Ryan does have six interceptions.
And he had a stupid one last week against Indianapolis.
So,
yeah, I think he's got like, what, 7 TDs and 6 interceptions
Eight TDs
and 6 interceptions.
The problem is you're not doing a great job of getting interceptions. I mean, I know you did the first game, but that didn't count.
We got 4. We're leading the league in turnovers.
And it doesn't matter. You got 3 in the first game because Cleveland penalized themselves to the tune of 180 yards, and every play was 3rd down and 27. I mean, that's why you got 3 interceptions. Because Baker,
Guess what? They all count. They all count.
I know, but this team's not getting 180 yards
of penalties. Every team in the league gets interceptions, just however you want to categorize the interceptions we got. Every team in the league gets them just like that. So, I mean, it happens all the time. And the key, you just got to catch them, make the play, have somebody in the right spot, do all that stuff. I mean, it happens every single week.
Okay, I don't believe the Titans are very good at getting interceptions or turnovers.
Okay.
Now, David says on Twitter, have you not figured it out? The Titans win when we aren't supposed to, like the Eagles and the Patriots and the Cowboys last year, and the Falcons game could be one of those games. Boy, I'd say this, though. I'd hate to waste one of my Patriots and Eagles and Cowboys performances on Atlanta. Because even though I think Atlanta's better than the Titans, you know, how many Patriot-like performances last year could you actually have in a season? But at the same time, you may need to use your that kind of performance in order to beat Atlanta. And you have to have this game, so maybe this is the Nashville Predators theory of when you think they're going to do something, they do the opposite. You know, the Predators are up 2-1 in a series, and if they just win game four at Dallas, they'll be in a commanding 3-1 lead, and didn't show up, absolutely housed in game four. Like, just when you think they're going to do something, they do the opposite. Maybe that's what will happen for the Titans, is I have no faith, and they'll go out there and they'll play well. I don't know. I don't love using that theory as a means to feeling good about the Titans.
Yeah.
Matthew says on Twitter,
I'd like to just go out and play well. That'd be great.
Well, I have not done that except the Cleveland game, which you didn't even really play well. You just let Cleveland screw everything up, which was a good game plan. Matthew says on Twitter, realistically, the season isn't over until December 29th. Thanks, Matthew. He said, technically, realistically, the season will be over before Thanksgiving. The Titans will then finish 1-4 in December in a spot out of the playoffs. It sounds kind of like last year. Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Marquise is going to kick us off today here on Jared and the GM. Go ahead, Marquise.
Hey, man, I was just going to say, I honestly think that the Titans are going to be able to pull this off. Just like the other guy said, they always win when you don't expect them to win. The whole thing with the last two games, I think they were still trying to recuperate from losing to Indianapolis, knowing that they could have won that game. Then they only had, two or three days to prepare to go against Jaguars. And just like a professional fighter, when they got in their mindset that they're going to go in here and win, the other team usually shows up and shows out. So I really think that they're going to be able to pull this off. They got more time to get their thoughts together, get their gameplay together. And I bet they're going to honestly bring it in, and they're going to go ahead and send the Falcons on their way.
Floyd, thank you for the call, Marquise. Floyd, you're shaking your head in agreement?
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible. I'm not. I mean, this time of year.
I mean, everything's possible.
None of these teams bother me.
I mean, Marcus could throw for 500 yards on Sunday.
I doubt it. If they could go undefeated the rest of the year and win the Super Bowl, and this week, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, none of that. I don't care what the team is. I'm looking at right now. What's the team right now? And at this point in time in the year, every team's about the same. We see that every week. Where some team that you don't expect jumps up and bites another team. I mean, Buffalo's 3-0, San Francisco's 3-0. I mean, there are teams out there that you know are not very good teams. They're 3-0, and there are teams out there that are pretty good teams that are 1-3 or maybe even 0-3. I don't know, but I it's not. It's just the beginning of the year is so unpredictable. I don't think you can rely on anything. I don't think you can count on anything. I don't think you can count yourself out of anything. Because, as I always say, the teams that are going to end up being really good don't know it. The teams that are going to end up being really bad don't know
it. I mean, I feel like I can say Kansas City's a pretty good football team.
It might be. You might be right.
I mean, I think Kansas City, I think anybody can say definitively that the Kansas City Chiefs are a good football team.
Yeah, until Mahomes gets an ACL this week. Then what are they? Thank you. That's called the NFL.
That's not, you know.
It's what called the NFL. Happens all the time. All the time. As San Francisco. They're 3-0 this time. But, you know, this time a couple years ago, they had their quarterback blown up and couldn't win a game.
Well, San Francisco's a fake. I mean, like, to me, there are fake 3-0s where you play nobody like San Francisco, like Buffalo. You play nobody and you're 3-0. That, to me, is a fake 3-0. That's what those teams are. The only good team, I'm looking at this right now, the only good team you could say might be good at 0-3.
Who's judging good here?
Just saying, like you could say would be a good team. Like you could make an argument for being a good team, although I'm not, would be the Steelers at 0-3. Everybody else absolutely sucks. Miami, Jets, Broncos, Bengals, Steelers, Redskins, and Arizona is 0-2-1. All of those teams suck. All of them. And so I do think that there are some things you can tell early in the season. Like Miami sucks. Like I think we can all definitively put our foot down and say they are horrible.
Well, I think we could have said that before they ever snapped the ball.
There's truth there, though.
So,
I mean, they told us that before they snapped the ball.
Yeah, that wasn't a big deal.
But to say that you can't make – you can't. You don't know exactly how it's going to play out early in the season, but you can play your way out of the season, and that's what I feel like the Titans would do if they lose on Sunday to the Falcons. You're 1-3. How do you play your way out of a 1-3 hole? You got to get on a roll. Where's a roll coming? Up, win a couple. Chargers, up, win a game. Up, Chiefs, Saints, Texans, Indy. Like, there's too many roadblocks on the schedule once you start 1-3 in order to get on a roll.
I'm not whining. I'm sorry.
I'm just telling the truth over here.
I'm not crying about it. It is what it is. You know what? You got nothing to cry about. You got to bow up and go in there and find a way. And we see it happen every single year. If it never, ever happened.
But not to you.
If it never, ever happened, you would be. I mean, what do you mean not to me?
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the Titans, this group.
And went 13-3. I mean, it happens all the time with a team that was no different.
No, and it's just like that team
this team has, I mean, the Atlanta team we're playing right now was in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. What were they last year? 6-10?
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, same guys, same quarterback, same offensive line, same receiver.
Hurt.
Oh, did they? Who got hurt?
All defense.
All the offense was there. They could have gone out there and they could have scored and gone up and down the field and scored about 70 a game and they still would have won. But no.
More of your phones. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Plus, Derrick Henry talks about the mindset of the team. Is he right? We'll get to that next. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday right here on Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025 the game.
Given the opportunity, I think a lot of guys would want to play as fast as soon as they could. It does suck to wait a little bit, but again, it gives us an opportunity to rest our bodies. It gives us an opportunity, like on Monday, to work on things that maybe you don't get a chance to necessarily work on throughout the week. And, you know, I think we got better, and, you know, we're looking forward to the game on Sunday.
Mariota's looking forward to the game on Sunday. I'm looking forward to the game on Sunday, but I'd say this. Be ready for Atlanta. Be ready for the Falcons. And realize what is at stake given the state of the season. And I feel like the Titans are just kind of, you know, Delanie Walker said it best. When he came into the league, people would be freaking out about being 1-2. Now, people in the league, not just the Titans, but people in the league, it's 1-2. Move on. It's okay. And I do not think it's okay. And this was Derrick Henry talking yesterday about how kind of the mindset of the football team going into this Atlanta game.
We don't try to get too ahead of ourselves. Try to take one game at a time, one day at a time, you know, and execute things in practice. And then get out in the game and try to make plays. But it's definitely a sense of urgency. Nobody's panicking. You know, we know what we have to do, you know, to go out there and win the game.
There's a sense of urgency, but nobody's panicking, and we know what we have to do. Okay, well, if they go out there and don't play like there's a sense of urgency, then I am panicking on Sunday.
You're panicking now. They haven't even kicked off.
I have no faith in this team Sunday.
You are. I mean, I'm getting depressed over here listening to you.
I've heard nobody on the Titans that has just kind of said, like, hey, calm down. It'll be fine. This is a good team. I haven't heard any of that. It's all the same. Oh, you know, it's just three games. We're not going to try to get too worked up by it. I'm like, I'm worked up. I'm worked up because I'm looking at the Falcons on Sunday, and if you lose to the Falcons, then what? Then you just say, well, it's just four games. It's just five games.
Go to the next one.
It's just six.
That's it. That's all you can do.
Just 13 games. Just did. We're just not there yet. It's just not, it's not 13. You know, it's not 14 games, but then when it becomes 14 games, they'll say, calm down, it's just 14 games. Adam is up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Adam.
All right, so I'm going to call you on Monday, and I'm going to go, hey, you remember what I said, right? The Titans are going to blow out Atlanta on Sunday, and I say that because after that Browns win, everybody was hyping Vrabel really hard. Like, this is the best coach in the league. Oh, my God, you should hear it. All these national guys saying he's the best coach. We got a real
not one national person said he's the best coach.
Yes, they said he was a great coach. I heard it from like 10 different guys. Anyway, he had all offseason to prep for the Browns, and you're talking about Atlanta like they're, you know, some powerhouse offense. The Browns had a pretty good offense, and we shut them down because he actually had a chance to prep for them. The Indy game, not so much. It was kind of a coin flip, and I felt like it the entire time I was there. But you were almost supposed to lose the Jags game. I know what you're going to say, but you had no tape on that quarterback, and you had 4 days on the road. So you could lose that game. It's a divisional opponent. You could lose that game. You got 10 days to prepare for Atlanta. There is no reason you don't blow Atlanta out. You got a good secondary. You could blow Atlanta out.
How do you feel if you don't blow Atlanta out?
Yeah, I'm going to be sick, Jared, but hey, why are you going to go into it with that mindset, man? We should blow Atlanta out. There's no excuse.
Because the Tennessee Titans.
I love it, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
Way to go, Adam.
The Tennessee Titans, unless the other team just absolutely screws up the game, have no capability of blowing anybody out because they can't get any explosive plays. Like, if they're going to blow somebody out, where are the explosive plays going to come from? And I believe that all the dumb things Baker Mayfield did in week one, Matt Ryan is not going to do because he's not as dumb as Baker Mayfield.
Well, he's throwing more interceptions than Baker Mayfield.
He's throwing the ball
almost
every play.
Twice. Almost twice as many.
Now, Baker threw a pick last week, didn't he?
I don't know. I don't think so. I thought it was just three, but you might be right. He's thrown three and Ryan's thrown six.
Do you think that Matt Ryan has any chance of playing as dumb on Sunday as Baker Mayfield?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he's got six interceptions. That's, you know, we got zero. So.
And everyone wants to get rid of this quarterback.
Well, there are other numbers to, you know, evaluate. But. From an interception standpoint, I mean, these games, I keep telling you, it's not who wins these games. It's who loses these games. Indy didn't beat us, in my mind. We beat ourselves against Indy. Jacksonville beat us.
Well, but you also gave them 7 points to start the game.
Beat you because
we couldn't adjust to, you know, Campbell on a right guard that's struggling. I mean, that's...
So is Grady Jarrett not going to eat this right guard for breakfast in this
game? Well, I think we'll be able to adjust that. We're going to expect that. We're going to... And I don't even know who the right guard's going to be. We act like, I mean, who knows?
Well, Jim Wyatt was making it sound like today on the midday show that it's going to be... what's his name?
Nate
the guy
Davis?
Who sucks. No. The guy who's playing now. Douglas. That it's going to be Douglas back out there. I mean, I don't even feel bad for like, I don't even blame Douglas for being terrible. It's his, he's a practice squad player. That's what he is. And you know Atlanta is just going to put Grady Jarrett right over him, and Grady Jarrett is going to eat him for lunch if they don't do anything, you know, to stop that. I think my thing, I agree with you, more games are lost at this stage in the season. But the Titans are coming off of 2 weeks of losing plays. Marcus misses a wide-open Tajay Sharp for a touchdown. That is a losing play. Derrick Henry drops the football out of the backfield, in which I was told he's running for a touchdown if he catches it. That's a losing play. Adoree Jackson tries to field a ball he has no business fielding.
I finally saw that, by the way.
What a disaster.
That was not – I mean, I can't even tie that to the punt returner. I mean, I can tie that to just picking up a fumble. I mean, anybody in football that can't pick up a fumble like that, I mean, you're looking at him, especially an athlete of his caliber, and you're going, all you had to do was pick it up. Or like Ian said, fall on it. Just fall. Just run up there and dive on it. Play's over. Okay, let's move on. But to try to pick it up and not pick it up and then try again and not be able to pick it up, I mean, that was incredible.
So why don't you just run that guy back out there? Because that's what Vrabel's going to do on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I feel much better
he
about it now.
He can't pick up the ball.
I feel much better about it now because you know he can catch the punt.
Again.
Wasn't a matter of catching the punt.
He sucks. To me, it just, those are all losing plays. They're all losing plays, and you're committing them. So every time you go out there, you say, you know, these games are lost more than they're won. Right. And for the last 2 weeks, you have lost the game with losing plays. So why am I supposed to believe that that's going to change? Now, Vrabel did coach him up on fundamentals Monday, so maybe that helped. I don't know.
There you go.
That's the answer. I give Vrabel credit for that because at least he's willing to look in the mirror and not just say, everything happens in the NFL is tough to explain. We'll be fine. And Vrabel's looking at it like, oh, my God, my team can't even catch the ball. So got to have a special practice for catching the ball, tucking the ball, running with the ball, picking the ball up, throwing the ball, finishing whatever you're supposed to finish on. Yes, can't tackle. I mean, the more I talk about the Titans, the more disappointed I get, and the more I lean towards favoring the Falcons.
I've got a hanky right here. You're going to need this.
I'm just telling you the truth.
Here you go.
I'm just saying the truth.
The truth according to Jared.
The truth. If I came out now,
we got no chance.
Let's ask the
callers.
They
don't like us. They don't like. They're going to try to beat us up.
I want everyone listening in their car right now to listen to this. If I had come on at 2 o'clock today and said I think they're going to blow out the Falcons, like the caller just said, if I come out and say I think they're going to blow out the Falcons, who thinks Floyd would not spend the next 4 hours telling us? Hey, they were in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and they've got Matt Ryan, and he's league MVP, and they've got Julio
Jones. I just like talking about what it actually is. I like talking about the real elements of the game.
By that, do you mean the opposite of what
about
I think?
I'm talking about the real stuff. And it's not the extreme over here or the extreme over here. It's the real things that could happen. I think that's the part that's interesting, unique, because, I mean, there's going to be plenty of things that go on here that are going to happen. And, you know, it's not like you have to, we're going to go pound our chest. We're going to go down there and kill them. Are you really? You know, or we got no chance.
I didn't say I got no chance. I said I don't feel good.
Crawl over here, get into the bed, go to bed.
I do not feel good. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, quick Preds thought. Preds have their final preseason game tonight at Carolina. I got a quick little Preds thought. We'll get into that. It's Jared and the GM. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5, the game.
All of our players have gone through that, from Colton Sissons to Victor Arvidsson to Philip Forsberg, Callie Yonkrock, Roman Josi, Pekka Rinne. It's a development league, and we need them on the ice and developing. And when they are ready, when they do start to make that move up, and they might go back to Milwaukee and then maybe up again, there's no set path on how it works. You know that they've been developed the right way. And so we're thrilled with the way the guys played. And you know, sometimes you even they look at going to Milwaukee as a demotion. We look at it as part of the process.
That was Peter Laviolette on the young players that have been down in Milwaukee. Predators tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes, the final preseason game. The Preds, by the way, have recalled 8 from Milwaukee. Essentially to play in this game
in the
tonight.
Game.
I mean, so here you go. So, Rym Petlick, Anthony Richard. And Anthony Richard, by the way, he is, he's not that bad. Alexander Carrier is the one who's horrible. Oh, my God, he is horrible. I went to the Tampa Bay game the other night. He literally just was trying to, like, put the puck on the tape in front of the net as a defenseman and got it taken away. Like, just awful. Anywho, so Rym Petlick, Anthony Richard, Eli Tolvanen, Jakob Trinen, Josh Wilkins, who got in a fight the other night, Carrier, Jeremy Davies, and Ken Appleby have all been recalled from AHL Milwaukee, which tells you that it's kind of, I think, like the fourth preseason game in the NFL. So don't expect Pekka to get out there tonight, I would assume, against Carolina. Anywho, Adam Vingan has an article in The Athletic, right? There are 3 spots he believes are open on the Preds' opening night roster, and there are 6 guys that he has vying for 3 spots. He's got Daniel Carr, Mika Salamaki, Freddie Gaudreau, Matt Irwin, Steve Santini, and Jared Tenorti, who are all competing for the 3 spots. So 6 guys for 3 spots. The Predators usually carry 8 defensemen, although Vingan thinks they'll carry 7 and carry an extra forward this year for whatever. Now, to me, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure how much I care about any of these guys. Like, think about this. Matt Irwin has been on this team for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And he has never played a legitimate role. It has always been third pair defensemen, and if they can get anybody better out there, they will. But then they ultimately can't. I mean, he is kind of like, I don't want to say the Jameel Douglas of the Predators, but he's one of those kind of guys. Like, anybody I can find who's better, I'll play, but I just can't constantly find people who are better, so then you get out there. Although he did have a nice start to the year they went to the Cup, but that was 3 years ago. Santini was in the PK Subban trade. I think he stinks, but Vingan says that he'll be on the team. Tenorti was a first-round pick by Montreal in 2010, and it's been more than 3 years, according to Adam Vingan, since he last played in the NHL. So I'm going to guess that if he's been around for a decade, and it's been 3 years at 6'6", it's been 3 years since he's played. Now, he was the Admirals captain last season, but, yeah, I don't know. Don't think that that happened. So here's what Vingan's prediction on all 6 of these guys are.
Who are the 6 again?
Daniel Carr, a forward they signed on July 1st, who was the MVP of the AHL last year. Mika Salamaki, who, you know, fourth line guy for forever. Yeah. Freddie Gaudreau.
Yeah.
Matt Irwin.
Yeah.
Santini, who was involved in the PK trade, but it was more like he's got like a $1.4 million contract, so you got to bite the bullet on his $1.4 million. And then Tenorti, who Crispy likes.
I just started to say, that was Crispy mentioned him the other day when we had him on the show. It sounded like he liked him.
He liked Tenorti, but just like with Jeremy McNichols on the Titans. I mean, when you've played on 5 different teams in 5 different training camps, what are you really, you know, like?
You're not going to surprise anybody?
So here's Adam's predictions. Adam thinks Carr makes the roster. He thinks Salamaki makes the roster. And he thinks Santini makes the roster simply because he was in the PK Subban trade. Now, I don't know if I'm reading this right.
Well, he didn't cost. Oh, just because he was part of the trade?
Yeah.
Because okay.
Now, he's $1.4 million against the cap, which is the largest of all these guys. But if they sent him down, he'd be 341,000. Well, by my estimation, if you have 1.3 or whatever it is, if it's 1.3 you have in cap space, you send down the 1.4 guy and you have to eat 300 grand of that against the cap. That puts you at plus 2 million or 2 point something. So that to me would be more reason to get rid of that guy than it would be to keep him. But Adam has him staying as the seventh defenseman, meaning he'll get scratched until somebody gets hurt, which tells you what you really think of that guy. You know what my bottom line analysis of this is?
What?
I don't care. I mean, think about it this way. If I have to care about Mika Salamaki being on this team or Daniel Carr or Steve Santini, one, either they're a humongous liability and you have to get them the heck out of there, or two, all the other guys who are supposed to be the big-time players aren't doing their jobs.
Well, you have to be careful, and I'm not saying they're doing this at all, but I think this happens in pro sports, is you get a guy that, you know, in the NFL, you get the 50th guy, the 51st, 2nd, 3rd guy, are guys that you've had around that you really, really like for whatever reason. You know, really good guys, really practice hard, maybe have played in a game and helped you at some point in time. But the truth is, they're only going to get in the game to cover kicks, you know. But mm-hmm. you like them for that. And if you're not careful and don't keep rotating those guys, pretty soon you've got a, you know, 8-year guy that you're paying $3 million a year to cover a kick that you could get for 300 grand a year. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to. That's why people keep rotating those guys, keep moving them around. You get, you know, you're not actually improving your team at all.
Yeah, it's like Salamaki.
How much better are those? I mean, it's not like we don't know those guys.
Yeah, Gaudreau, Salamaki.
And so, you know, you're saying to yourself, okay, how much better are they going to get? And I understand what Peter was saying about, you know, going back and forth and actually improving a player here, a player there. And a bunch of those guys, you know, the Tolvanens of the world.
Pitlick.
Yeah, those kind of guys. I mean, they're just, that's made for them, and it's perfect. I'm not sure after, you know, a few years that that's going to be the case. But I'm not a hockey guy.
So Vingan says that he thinks that they'll waive Gaudreau, and he thinks they'll waive Matt Irwin, and they'll send Tenorti back to Milwaukee, and then Tenorti will work his way into the call-up discussion. I almost want to say they should keep Tenorti because I know what I think of Irwin and Santini, and I don't like what I think of those guys. So they should keep Tenorti because Crispy likes Tenorti, and again, when we're talking about the last man on the roster, if Crispy says he likes him, then you know what? Put him in there.
Got some experience, that's
for
sure.
But as far as who makes the back end of the roster, that is the least important thing, in my opinion, to what matters for this Predators team starting next week. The single least important thing of does Freddie Gaudreau make this roster for the umpteenth time to go in there and essentially do nothing. Now, he won't lose you the game, but he is what he is. Salamaki is what he is.
And I think once you say that, as an organization, then it's time to move them because they are not getting any better. You know, they're just not. They're just kind of, okay, they're there. Well, let's try one of these other guys that we kind of like that is only going to get better and see if we can get him better.
The only problem with that, though, is like on a fourth line role, you know, Salamaki can go in there and he can ruffle some feathers and he can be physical with them and I mean, they're not going to put Pitlick in a fourth line role. But again, you're not going to win the cup because of Mika Salamaki.
Yeah,
then again, if you won the cup 2 years ago or 3 years ago or however the hell long ago that was, Freddie Gaudreau would have been a very big reason as to why you won the cup, which is amazing to say. But where I sit today, who makes the last spot on the roster? Who cares? Now, can Kyle Turris actually play well being on the wing on the first line? That matters. You know,
yes, it does.
That matters.
And we'll find that out shortly.
And I'm betting against that, by the way. Regardless of what you may have seen in the preseason, I'm betting against
that. You got to be positive now.
Why?
You are so negative.
He made a nice move on that pass to Craig Smith for the goal the other night.
That was a beautiful play by Craig Smith. Oh, beautiful play by Craig Smith. I watched that and I said, oh, it's so beautiful.
Well, oh. Terst made that setup too, so.
And you don't like either one of those guys.
I can live with Smith. I mean, you know, I can live with him. 615-737-1025. There may be relief coming to the Titans on the offensive line, but is it really relief? And when's it coming? And what the heck are the Titans telling me now about this? We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM, Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.